It's a great schuss to be joined by one of my Rebbeim, Rav Moshe Weinberger. Rav Weinberger, the Rav of Ish Kodesh, and the Rav of so many around the world, inspiring and lighting on fire. Rav Weinberger, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
So Rav Weinberger, there are people who feel very comfortable being locked into a particular hashkafa. They were raised, they grew up in a certain way, a certain derech, a certain yeshiva, and they wear that uniform. They identify in that way, hook, line, and sinker, and they go weiter. But there are other people. I had a Rebbe who used to say, you'll put me in a box when I'm dead. I don't fit into any one box. I take the best from all the worlds that I've been exposed to and everything I've been involved in. So what does Rav Weinberger feel about that approach, that attitude to life? Does a person have to be locked into one hashkafa, not in halacha? When it comes to halacha, we have a Rebbe, we have a psak, we say aseh lecha rav. But do we say aseh lecha rav? Does a person have to follow one psak when it comes to a derech hachayim and a hashkafa? Or can we take from it and integrate the best of all the worlds that we see and experience?
So I think that David HaMelech answered this question a long time ago, and one doesn't have to really venture deep into Tehillim to get to it. It's the very first pasuk. It's the beginning of Tehillim. B'saras Hashem Cheftzo, B'saraso Yege Yom V'Laila. B'saras Hashem Cheftzo means that the ultimate goal is that a Jew should have a chefetz with Teres Hashem. Again, we're not talking about halacha. We're talking about in terms of kirvas elokim, closeness to Hashem, b'saras Hashem Cheftzo. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yutes tells us that Rebbe said, lo yilmod adam ella mimakom shelibay chafes, that a person's learning should be mimakom shelibo chafes. Rav says over there b'makom, but Rebbe says mimakom shelibo chafes. And Tosfos at the beginning of Bava Metzia, we see that even though Rebbe had a seder of Mishnayos, a specific seder of how to give over Yiddishkeit, nevertheless he when he saw that the Talmidim had a chefetz to learn something else, to learn something different, he would learn that with them. The point being that the Tachlis is Kirvas Elokim. And therefore, the Netziv writes at the end of Parashat Shlach, in Hamikdavar, he brings some Kehelis in Parachas, where it says in Pasuk, it says, Vahalich b'derech libcha, and Vahalich b'derech libcha, go according to your heart. The Netziv there says specifically and very clearly that every single neshama has a different shurish in Shemaim, has a different avoda in Shemaim. We keep all of halacha, but when it comes to b'derech libcha, every Jew has to find his own way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you force some other way that does not fit you, it's not going to work. It brings a churban, which in its Sif's Talmud, Rav Kook writes a lot about in the Arizat Torah and Perek Tes, about how the churban of Yiddishkeit that comes as a result of people being forced into a certain box in terms of their hashkafas being forced into a certain box, which is not lefi, the shorish of who they are. And as a result of that, they're miserable and they're not getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they begin to turn away from halach as well. So even though it would be very, very sweet if everybody did follow a particular Beis HaMedrash that they were raised in terms of their hashkafas, but each person is unique, each person is different, and has to find his own way within the mizgeres, the framework of halacha.
So that could explain why a person could maybe change from one shevet to another. So if there's Yud Beis Shvatim, you could change from this derech, you go from being a litvish to chassidish, you go from being a yeket to a this. But is there a precedent of taking from all, of integrating everything, of not just switching and then joining another mizgeres, but of creating one's own, so to say, by combining, by integrating, by connecting the best of everyone?
Right. So, one of the great mashpiyim in the world now is a big tzaddik, originally from London, Rabbi Shemaya Morgenstern. And Rabbi Shemaya has written in many, many places that we see this transformation that before Mashiach comes, we see such an interesting tofa'ah. This is happening all over now, whereas it used to be that you lived in a certain dalat amas of that particular tzaddik or that yeshiva or that rav or that mashpia. You lived in that dalat amas, and that's what you had access to, and you would connect to that particular mahalach of that tzaddik where Hashem sent you. But what Rabbi Shemaya speaks a lot about is we see that before Mashiach comes, there is this remarkable thing that's taking place where there are Jews who are drawing from all over. The Chavakuk, that Chavakuk, Chabad and Breslov and Rav Kook, there are even some that want to put in Karlbach instead of Rav Kook, or together, or they put in Kamarna, according to each one. Now, I know that this is, for many people who are the old school and traditionalists, this seems like a bilbul. It seems like something which is very confusing. And if there's a person who is doing this just by having, in order to have a Yiddishkeit that's sort of like a smorgasbord that fits his tastes and his needs on any particular Tuesday in Teves, he's grabbing from this tzaddik, he's grabbing from that Torah, from this chassidus, from that, then that could cause terrible confusion and terrible bilbulim, and it's just a way of avoiding, it could be a way of avoiding a serious commitment to a way of thinking and a way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what Rabbi Shammai speaks a lot about in other tzaddikim, and I've seen this, and I've discussed this many, many times with different tzaddikim from all the different chassidicisms, from the different yeshivas, that this is remarkable in our times, how there are people who are finding an ability to grow dafka by taking from different Bati Midrashim, the best of those Bati Midrashim, and sincerely, with hadracha from an Adam Gadol. There needs to be hadracha from a person who's overseeing this. It's not hefka. One should not just take and pull and it should be with the oversight of an Adam Gadol who has an appreciation, a familiarity, and a love for all of these different ways in Yiddishkeit to help this individual find his kirvus alakim by means of connecting to different Bati Midrashim.
Someone once described to me the beauty of their yeshiva, of their Beis Medrash. You'll find in the shelves in their Beis Medrash, in the same bookcase, there's a Beis HaLevi and a Kedushas Levi.
Right.
In the same bookcase, in the same shelves. So to be clear, there's no judgment or criticism of the person who says, I'm bought in hook, line, and sinker. I'm Chabad all the way. I'm Chavetz Chaim all the way. I'm Lakewood all the way. I'm YU all the way. This is my Rebbe. This is my Shita. This is my Hashkafa. I don't need to travel and journey and visit and take in. The person is comfortable, and that's Libo Chafetz, is to be there. There's nothing wrong with that.
Ashrecha v'tov lecha. That's wonderful. Ashrecha v'tov lecha. And there are many times in my life I've wished I could be such a person. That if you have found that, and Hashem has brought you to that place, which is the Ma'ayan, the wellspring of your life, and you feel connected to that in a deep way, and that speaks to you, and these are great people, whether it's Lakewood, Chabad, Chavetz Chaim, whatever that yeshiva is, or wherever that chassidus is, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. And it doesn't mean anything negative about the people who have not found that. The Ramchal writes in Adir B'Marum, the Ramchal writes that the Torah must be ultimately completed. The completion of Torah began by Har Sinai. It goes through the years. And each person has his chelik from Har Sinai. And each one of us must fulfill that chelik that we have to complete from Har Sinai, and only then will Torah be bishleimus. It's not just about us feeling good about ourselves. It's doing what we were sent into the world to accomplish. V'sein chelkeinu b'sar asecha. If you have found that's your chelik, which means it speaks to you in a deep way, it brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it makes you into the Jew who's more careful with Shemiras HaMitzvahs and Kedushas HaYahadas. So then that's wonderful. That's fantastic. But those individuals should not chalil look down upon the others who are taking from different places and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the best of their ability. And sometimes you could have from each one of these chavras that they look down upon somebody who's different from them. That lechol hadeis is something which is not appropriate.
So could the Rav speak a little bit about his own personal experience today? The Rav is seen as a father, a founder, a leader in what they're calling Neo Chassidus, that clearly identifies of a Chassidish world and worldview. And while that's the Rav's family's Misora, the Rav didn't grow up in a Beis Medrash of Chassidim. So what is the best of the different worlds that Rav Weinberger tries to draw from? The Olam HaTorah, the Olam of the Beis Medrash, the world of Brisk, of Alumdus, of a Litvisher world, combined and integrated with Chassidus. What in Rav Weinberger's background and what today continues to inform the Rav's integrated attitude?
Look, my Rebbeim were great, great tzaddikim, Rosh Yeshivas from the Litvisha Welt. And I have a tremendous love and connection to that. My Rebbe, Rav Dov Lifshitz, was a Talmud of Grodno, of Rav Shimon Shkop. That's my Mahalach in learning. It's been like that for 45 years. I was by Rav Soloveitchik. The world of Brisk speaks to me in learning in a very, very deep way. In my Avodas Hashem, I come from Hungarian Jews, from the world of Pressburg, the Chassam Sofer, not from Chassidim, not from, even though my grandparents went to Rebbes, as was often the case in Hungary, that the Hungarian Jews felt a connection to Chassidish Rebbes, but that was not something that was given to me in the Mesorah from my parents. Hungarian Jews, the world of the Chassam Sofer and Pressburg, that were my ancestors learned, that's what was given to me. I felt a thirst, I felt a certain need, and I began to search from the time that I was probably 11 years old, 12 years old. I have to remember that in those years, for somebody who really was not fluent in Yiddish, because I wasn't, to be able to connect to something where you could hear in English and speak to people about it in English. At that time, I was naturally drawn to Chabad, and I went to many, many of the Rebbe's Farbrengens, and I felt a deep connection to that Torah of Chabad, and that really sort of got me started into the world of Chassidus. At the end, I did not become Lubavitcher Chassid. That's not for a conversation here. I have tremendous love for the Rebbe and for the Chassidus, but I stayed more within the world that was given to me by my father in terms of my own mahalach in life. But in Limudim, in my learning, energized my Avodas Hashem, I began really, really with Chabad. And in Chassidus, I was learning a lot of Maharal before that. For years, I was learning Maharal, and I was learning Ramchal as a Yesod for Chassidus. But then I began to learn Chabad Chassidus. But from there, the entire world of the Baal Shem Tov opened up to me. And then I was hearing people telling me, don't go to Rabbi Nachman, don't go to Rabbi Nachman, it's dangerous. Yes, of course, he's a great tzaddik. Everybody knows he was a great tzaddik, but watch out. It's strange. It's not for you. And I found out over the years that it definitely is for me, and I believe it's for everybody. And I began to learn a lot of Breslov Chassidus. And at the same, while keeping up with my regular learning and my love for Musa, I'm very connected to Rabbi Yerucham, I'm very connected to Rabbi Chaskel Levenstein, I'm very connected to Chavos Chaim Starz, I'm very connected to Rav Dessler. And over time, I began to see that what I was told, what I imagined were the walls that divided between these worlds, I began to see that these walls were not what I originally thought. And then finally, I discovered Rav Kook, and Rav Huttner, that world is a world where there's an integration. Both of them came from one side, Chassidim, and the other side, they came from Misnagdim. And both of them represented to me a beautiful integration of those two worlds, Reb Tzadik, Sfas Emes. And now in our times, we see that even in terms of the Mashpiyim in the world, Reb Tzvi Meyer, even though he learned by Amshinov, but he draws from all of Chassidus, Rabbi Shemaya, all of Chassidus, and not just Chassidus. Both of them learned in non-Chassidus yeshivas, and both of them are drawing from all of the Svarim HaKadoshim, and many, many other Mashpiyim now, even in the Litvisha Welt, we see that the Sfas Emes, Rabbi Tzadik, Tanya, and other Svarim are becoming part of the way of Limud, with this longing for Kirvas Elokim, which we're beginning to realize before Mashiach comes, that all of these Batei Midrashim together come together, and that's the vision, I believe, of Hoyul Achadim B'Yadarcha, of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, that we're seeing in our time. There's no time to go right now into this Inyan of Roch and Lay, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, in terms of the Litvish Welt, the Svadish Welt, the Chassidish Welt, and the Yekish Welt, Rav Shalom Shmuel Hirsch, I learned his form as well. But Hoyul Achadim B'Yadarcha, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, means that the vision of the end of time is that all of these rivers return to the sea. And all of the rivers are returning to the sea, and I'm surfing. I'm surfing on these rivers. That's my life. I'm surfing Rav Sham Shmuel Hirsch, Tanya, Breslov, Rav Kook. So I know that there are people that look at this as confusion, and I don't believe that, and I've discussed this with many tzaddikim. It's an infusion into my life, not confusion. It's brought the greatest beauty and the harmony to my life, and I try with all of my heart, I daven for Hashem to help me to see the beauty in all of these batei midrashim, and each one, and whoever finds himself and is able to plant himself completely 1,000% in any of those batei midrashim, that's gevald. It just doesn't speak to me, but I admire them and I love them.
So we have time for one last question. What does the Rav specifically admire, see, try to draw from different worlds? What's the beauty of the Yekesh world, the Sfarish world? What does the Rav take from the Litvish world, the world of the base Medrash, integrate with Chassidus? And is there a world that Rav Weinberger has not yet explored, that Rav Weinberger has a craving, a yearning, is curious, or wants to look deeper into or integrate more into Rav Weinberger's life?
Each one of these batei midrashim, the Yekesh world, the Ehrlichkeit, of the Yekesh Welt, the Seder, the Musa of the Yekesh Welt. It's something which is absolutely remarkable. The love of Torah from the Litvish world. Where do you see such a Ahavas Torah? What I saw by my Rebbeim, a love of Torah, an unbelievable Ahavas Torah that even my wife's grandmother, Zichron Levracha, she was from a town, a little village outside of Vilna. When you say the word to Rab Chaim Oizer, she would begin to cry. And she could barely read. But when you say Reb Chaim Oizer, she would jump up at the age of 98. She would jump up from her chair. Reb Chaim Oizer, what do you know about Reb Chaim Oizer? I saw Reb Chaim Oizer. And you know what she used to, you know what she gave my wife and I for an anniversary present? Rav Gustman's Chidushim. She doesn't even know how to read the word Gustman. But she gave Rav Gusman, she said that my husband and I, we're very close to Rav Gusman. We're very close to Rav Gusman. This is something you need to learn this, Maisha. You need to learn this. Learn this. The love of Torah, even by the simple women. Where do you have such love of Torah as in the Litvish Welt? In the Hasidic Welt, Ahavas Yisrael, the love of other Jews, the Pashtus, the simple love of other Jews that you'll see even now that when there's that sorrow, there's anything that right away, if you didn't like Sabra until you had to be, God forbid, in the hospital, and then you had a big chaylum, and with everything, with the misaskim, I don't have to go into this right now. The Svardisha, the Amunah, the fire of their Amunah, the fire of their Amunah. Who has such Amunah like the Svardisha? It's unbelievable. Each one of these Bate Midrashim, there's to talk about for hours and what to draw from each one of them, the beauty and the love of Torah, of Klai Yisrael, from the Misnachlim, where you have a fire of Eretz Yisrael, from the Chevron Eretz Yisrael, the Misnachlim, the Hezda Chevra, the love of Eretz Yisrael, the Dveikus to Eretz Yisrael. Where do you see such a thing? It's from each we have to learn. What I feel that at this point in my life I haven't spent enough time exploring is really the Svardasha Tzaddikim. That's I'm thinking about going to Morocco for a bit, I've started in with the Rashash over the past few years. And I've been connecting more to that. I don't teach that publicly, but that world of that Masorah of the Svardim, which I have many, many Talmidim over the years, Svardim Shechevra, and I have many friends and so on, but I haven't connected enough to that. I have to cross over the ocean to get to that. And that's my latest undertaking is that world of the Rashash and the Svardim Shechevra and the Beni Shechai.
Weinberger, thank you so much for your time, your insight, and your wisdom. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldberg.